Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing the first and the last of number 100, Angels We Have Heard on High, 100.
Beat me to it. Good morning, church family. It is good to be here this morning. Can't believe 6 days from now will be Christmas morning. I love seeing the red poinsettias and everybody all gussied up in their red outfits this morning. Just a few announcements. Tonight we will have our regular service at 6:30. Yes, 6:30. Acts 6. I don't remember. 6 o'clock. I will be 30 minutes late. Let me restart. 6 o'clock is our regular service tonight. Wednesday we will have all regular activities going on, including youth and mission friends, RAs and GAs. In our prayer meeting. On the 24th, we will have our Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We ask that you all come and enjoy those activities that we offer here at Hillcrest. I have a few numbers I want to share with you today, if you will allow me. The first one is 17,283. That deserves a big amen. We have met our Lottie Moon goal. I do have a couple other numbers that I wanted to share with you. 7.8 billion. That's approximately how many people are on this this planet of ours. And if the numbers are true and 30% of the world is Christian, that means there are 2.5 billion people who claim to be Christians. Now, out of that 7.8 billion, there are 1.6 billion people estimated to have never heard the name of Christ before. 1.6 billion. And your gift to Lottie Moon helps to pay for that. There are three things that we can do as believers to help alleviate that. Number one is we can pray. Pray for our missionaries. Pray that God would send people to those places who have never heard the name of Christ. The second thing is to give, and we give to Lottie Moon, and there's other organizations that we can give to. And the third thing is we can go. Pray that God would give you a desire to serve other people and to witness to them. I do want to welcome everybody to Hillcrest this morning, and the way we're going to welcome each other is we're going to sing together and we're going to wave from afar. Thank you.
so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined us with Jesus as we travel this art. For I'm part of the family of God.
And if you, while we're still standing, we will sing number 103, Away in a Manger, 103.
The angel appeared to Mary, as we read in Luke chapter 1, and told her that you will be with child, and that his name will be Jesus. The same message was delivered to Joseph in Matthew 1, and he was told that she will be his virgin. She will be with child, and she will call him, or his name will be Jesus. The name was given by God himself. It is a beautiful name. Today, unfortunately, the name of Jesus is taken lightly quite often, sometimes even in profanity or bad language. But God is clear. He gave him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians 2.
That beautiful name, from sin has the power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus.
that unto a babe was given. The stars glittered bright throughout that glad night, and the angels praised God in heaven. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has the power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. The one of that name, my Savior became, my Savior of Calvary. My sins nailed him there, my burdens he bare. He suffered all this for me. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has the power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I love that blessed name, that wonderful name, made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, and to Jesus my life I've given. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has the power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you and just give thanks, Lord, for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for that wreath on the wall. And we pray, Lord, through the tithes and the offerings, Lord, that you would multiply them and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father God, bless the givers and bless the gifts. Father, we do love you. We pray for this service coming up, the message that you've given to Brother Jerry. We pray, Lord, that it would touch our hearts and our minds. Father God, we do love you and praise you. In the matchless name of Jesus, I pray.
Well, after that song, amen, praise the Lord, let's go home. I mean, boy, is that not a good song? Have you ever heard that before? Anybody? He always surprises us. I've never heard it. I'll never think of the name Jesus again like I always have. Thank you so much. We're going to pray before we get started. As we pray, if you're here today, thank the Lord that you're able to come. So many things that we have the privilege of just praying and thanking God for. Just oxygen to breathe. Clothes on our back. As you look outside, you see so many hurts and so many needs. But God has been good to us. Don't you just love Him? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you provided a way for us to come to heaven. You sent your Son so that He died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we heard some numbers this morning that tells us we have a job to do. Almost 2 billion people, Lord, have never heard the name of Jesus. What a shame. God, help us to reach others. Help us to tell others about what you've done for us. God, if we've got Jesus in our heart, help us be excited about it, thankful about it. If we don't have Jesus in our heart, I pray today we'd get saved. Pray, Lord, that we realize we need you. God, we have nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for Hillcrest Baptist Church. We praise you. We love you. We ask, Lord, that you would hear our prayers in times of need and hurt, also in times of praise. Today, Father, we'll sing some songs and we'll read some scripture. I pray, Lord, in our hearts that we would lift up our hearts to you. As we leave here today, Father, I pray that we just know that we've been in the presence of God. What an awesome thought to know that you're right here with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, Alex, turn me down just a tad. Today we're going to have a Christmas program. And that Christmas program is you, is the choir, and the Word. The title of this message is Making the Connection of Christmas. I'm going to read some scripture and share a thought or two about that scripture. Then we're going to sing a song. We've got about 8 songs, I think, prepared. We'll sing the first and the last verses of these songs. But the reason I think God put this on my heart to do it like this is, number one, we enjoy doing things like this, and it draws us to worship Him. But this is a chance for all of us to worship together. We'll sing together. We'll pray together. We'll hear the scripture together. And it all has a point to it. We're going to start out with prophecy in Isaiah, where 700 years ago, God said He was going to send His Son. And then we'll see where He fulfilled that prophecy. And throughout the scripture that we're going to share today, I hope that you'll be able to share it with others. I've talked to several people in the last month or so, and they don't know how to share the Christmas story. They don't quite understand all they just can't make the connection of Scripture. And these were Christians that I talked to. And that's where this message came from. If you're not sure, just listen up today, and we're going to have enough Scripture where you can tell a three-year-old while we celebrate Christmas. So let me ask you a couple questions before we get started. Have you ever tried to explain the plan of salvation to a 4 or 5-year-old? Enough said, huh? It's hard, especially get down on their level, but we start talking to them when they're very young. And that's the reason we have nursery and mission friends and small kids in Sunday school, so we can teach them. Do they get it? No, not all the time. But we continue teaching. Have you ever had a child ask you how Noah got all those animals in the ark? If you have an answer for that, you can tell me so I can tell them. They ask these kinds of questions. They really want to know why and how. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that Jesus fed 5,000 people with how many fish? How many loaves of bread? 7, 5. He fed them and didn't run out, did he? How are you going to explain that to a child that asks you? And then Christmas time. How did God come down here on earth? To a 4-year-old, to a 74-year-old. So we need help. Today I hope that you hear out of a loving heart, this is a simple way to explain Christ, his birth. And we'll talk about the death of Jesus as well. We're going to watch a video.
Yeah, wonder whatever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
What? Wait, so you're saying that the baby Jesus Christmas story is the same as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah, thanks, honey.
Wow, I just never really put the two concepts together. Wonder what happened to that guy, huh?
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, there's some time in there, right? I mean, he grew up, he taught people, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and came back to life, and, you know, now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts? Okay, I was really... Oh, wow. Okay, I never really put all those guys together, you know?
Only one guy.
I tell you this. Here's an idea. Maybe we stop just making Christmas all just this once-a-year isolated thing, but we make it an ongoing story about the salvation in our hearts and lives. Up top.
It's the idea.
Yeah. Well, let's look at Scripture. If you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll look at verse 14. Again, this is going to involve you, the choir, and Scripture. The Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." The Lord spoke this prophecy to King Ahaz through Isaiah 700 years before Christ was born. And it was a sign to Ahaz, a sign of hope. Ahaz would have a son later on that would fulfill part of this, but it was a sign of hope that one day we'd see a Messiah come that would save us, which would be Jesus Christ. His birth came at a time when there was spiritual darkness throughout the world. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 4 and 16, the people who sat in darkness had seen a great light. And that light shone around the lost world. By the way, Matthew got that from Isaiah. You can read, as well as I can, in the New Testament, where the Lord saw evil, sinfulness out of his own people. Remember when Jesus went into the temple and saw what was taking place in the temple, and he got so fed up with it and angry about it, he overturned the tables. He saw darkness. He saw his people living in darkness. And these people had been waiting 700 years for a Messiah. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. So let's sing a song, page 76, O Come Emmanuel. We'll sing the first and the last verses of each song. Faithful to fulfill his word, to fulfill his prophecy. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and verse 14, is prophecy fulfilled. Listen to John tell us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And then verse 14, "And the Word became flesh God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of all, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word incarnation means to be made flesh. God came to the earth in the person of Jesus. God appeared to us at first as a baby in a body like ours. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh, and the Word shone his light on all people, both saved and unsaved today. Dr. James Merritt wrote, "Jesus is not just similar to God, he is the same as God. He is the incarnate Word who in the beginning created this world with his spoken word. Jesus shined his light, gives his life, and dispenses love to all who worship him as God of the is the very God. Everything, including your very self, has stamped on it, made by Jesus." We're going to sing "Joy to the World," page 87. Talking to children and sometimes to adults that haven't quite made the connection. Listen to the message that Jesus gave the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising the Lord God. 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Yeah. Every time I read that, my mind just goes back to when I first got saved. Sure glad somebody shared Jesus with me. I could have been one of those 1.9 billion people that haven't heard. Pretty important for us to share the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time there was a Christmas worship service, you would have thought that Jesus would have had it in the temple with his people, with the choice people. But yet, what does Scripture tell us? That he chose to have it out in a field with shepherds. And if you know about shepherds back then, they were not very well respected. In fact, Jews hated the shepherds. They considered them unclean, and they were unclean in the eyes of God. They took care of the sheep. They protected the sheep. They stayed out in the fields all the time. It was a 24/7 job. So they weren't able to go in town, and when they did, people shunned them and turned their nose up at them. They were smelly. Can you imagine taking care of sheep out in the field with no bathrooms or running water like we have today? the angel shows up to them. Can you imagine what they felt like? Scared to death at first when they heard the message. Here's the point. God knew that the shepherds needed a shepherd themselves. He knew that they needed a Savior. We're no different than those shepherds. In the Lord's eyes, we're unclean till we get saved, till we get cleaned up by Jesus. Page 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
After the angels left the shepherds, they couldn't just stay in the fields. They had to go. So let's continue reading Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They decided immediately to seek Jesus, to go find him. They rushed to see for themselves this little baby. They were excited that the Lord had made Jesus known to them. They found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the baby. Just as the scripture says, lying in a manger. When is the last time that you got really excited about that little baby laying in the manger? Enough to pick up whatever you're doing, pick up and go tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could stop here and start preaching. That's what those numbers were you were talking about, Steve. We kind of got used to Jesus, used to him being right here with us. But one of the reasons for this message to be so simple today is to remind you to be excited about the birth of Jesus. Yeah. And whatever age we are, some of you you've celebrated Christmas more than others, but it's so much more than our family coming over and eating dinner with us and swapping a few presents. I wrote this down about the nativity scenes. Now you see one right here, and it's got the birth and it's got the cross as well. So be honest with me, don't raise your hands, but when you ride down the street and you see nativity scenes in people's yards, what's your reaction to that? I wrote down three different things. The first one was, we'll ride by and say, oh, how nice. And say it kind of like that, oh, how nice. Or we may ride by and be a little bit critical of it. That looked like plastic. The king's too small, or Jesus is, you can't see Jesus. Or look at that donkey, it's missing an ear. But I think the truth of the matter is, we will ride by it and ignore it because we've seen so many. So this Christmas, as you ride by a nativity scene, remember that preacher that got up on that Sunday morning and said, most of us just ride by, we've seen so many, we just kind of, what's that word for that? We just ignore them. We don't really care one way or another. He's so good. And those nativity scenes are just a perfect tool to teach somebody about Jesus. So as we're riding by, if you have a 4-year-old or if you have an 8-year-old or a 15-year-old, you might want to ask them, what does that nativity scene mean? And they may or may not know, and if they don't know, that gives you an opportunity to start out with that baby in that nativity scene. That's Jesus. That's Emmanuel, God with us. How often do we see those nativity scenes and get really excited about them? Let's do like the shepherds did. Go tell it on the mountain, page 95.
Christ is born, while shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Scripture tells us that it wasn't just the shepherds that sought Jesus. So run over to Matthew chapter 2 and look at verses 1 and 2. Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I read this, that if you're traveling during the Christmas holidays, then you're participating in one of the oldest Christmas traditions. 2,000 years ago, Magi left their home to seek Jesus. They were planning on worshiping Jesus. Can you imagine hearing the Christmas story for the very first time? That Jesus came, God came to be your Savior. Would you drop everything you were doing like the Magi and figure up that it's going to take you some time to find him, possibly more than a year or two? Just take off and leave because the King of Kings has been born. They sought King Jesus. They asked, where is this King of the Jews? They emphasized the Gentile faith. They had no idea who they were looking for and why they were looking for it. They just knew that they had to find this King. In fact, we have their influence on us 2,000 years later. They sought Jesus and brought gifts to Jesus. We seek Jesus every single Sunday we come here. We bring gifts to Jesus, not only money, but we bring ourselves. We bring our worship. We bring our obedience, our commitment to Jesus. Page 118, What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, compass, and key. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Gifts were given. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, can you imagine 2,000 years ago, they were seeking Jesus. They followed that star. They searched faithfully until they could find the Lord Jesus. Not only that, they brought gifts to the Lord. They were looking for a king and found a babe. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger, and notice their reaction. They bowed down before Jesus Christ. They worshiped him with their gifts. How much trouble would it be for us to bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him as the Magi did? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. What kind of gifts do you bring to the Lord when you come to meet him on Sundays? In fact, what kind of gifts do you bring him every single day? Page 113, We Three Kings of the Orient Are.
God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to
Magi found King of Kings, the ruler of this world. We were told about this in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide for now. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. That was a prophecy of Jesus to come, as well as back then, they needed somebody to lead them. They got received a godly king as well. But the point of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, you Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little, God often uses little things to accomplish his purpose. Sometimes he uses an uneducated person to educate the educated people. Sometimes he uses the weak people to take care of the strong people. He always uses somebody that's weak to accomplish his purpose, because through our weakness, we see his strength. Through our weakness, we're able to do all things through Christ, as long as we allow him to work through us. He can use us. How many of us would ever think that a church this size may end up with $30,000 or $40,000 up on that wreath? We've got $17,000. Each ball represents $1,000. What was it, $17,258 or something like that? It'll be more than that. God uses little things to accomplish his purpose. Isn't that great? God uses uneducated to educate the educated. Thank you so much, Jesus. If you would, run over to page 89 if you're using your song book. O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Appearing, oh.
Celebrate the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We also celebrate the death of Jesus. The truth of the matter is, God was born on this earth so that he could die for us. 33 years he lived on this earth. And I'm sure those 33 years were not very pleasant because of where he came from. He came from perfect to walk on this earth with all the sin. And think about it today, how sinful this world has gotten. Jesus died on that cross, not only for them, but for us and the future people that are coming. We get discouraged sometimes how bad things are, but I don't think you'll ever read where Jesus got discouraged. He died for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. So he was born, he died, he arose again. Don, that's a yeehaw. That's right, you're exactly right. Billy Graham wrote this, "I suppose I'd believe in life after death if ever I met someone who had gone there and then came back to tell about it," a man wrote me once. But that's exactly what Jesus did when he died and then came back to life by the power of God. When Jesus was put to death, he truly died. The Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross attested to the fact that they took his body down and placed it in a tomb. Its entrance was sealed with a huge stone and placed under guard, but that was not the end of the story. 2 days later, the tomb was empty, and shortly afterward, Jesus appeared numerous times to his followers. As many as 500 on one occasion, his resurrection proved that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, sent from heaven to save us from our sins. But it also proved for all time that there is life after death, and that we will go to be with him in heaven forever. We know him. He writes, "Is your hope in Christ both for this life and the life to come?" We started out with prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born. We heard about the shepherds, we heard about the manger scene, we heard about the Magi, and then we also hear that Christ died for our sins. He died on the cross. So let's walk through this, and then we'll sing a song of invitation. Our nativity scene, if you've got a little child, if you just come up here, sometimes I come in during the daytime. Laura, thank you for doing this. I just kind of stare at it. I don't say anything. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. I just stare at it. And as I stare at it, things happen. You know, what's that mean? I don't know why I'm doing that. Something happens in my heart. And I just, at that moment when that stirs my heart, I'm so very grateful. And then I walk over here and I see the empty tomb and see Jesus hanging on the cross. And then I really get stirred up because that's what he did for me. He died for me. So then I come over here, and I stand here, and I look at the cross, and this has a lot of, we've got some nail holes where we used to stick stuff on there, but I just think of how rough that cross was when Jesus hung on it. those nails that went through his hands and hung on there. And it just speaks to my heart again of what he did for each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And then I walk over here and I look at, and I just stare at that. Sometimes I just spend moments, minutes, 10 minutes just staring at it. And I can imagine in years past where that you couldn't see any green. It's all gold balls. One year there was 54 gold balls there. And that's because we believe what I'm sharing with you today. We believe that Jesus came and that other people need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look around and see the greenery. And then I'm thankful for the women that came and Edwin too, that came and Clarence. I hate to name names because I'll be somebody else. But Clarence and Edwin were the two main men that came and helped. And women, thank you so much for all that you do for our church. But you don't do it just for the church. You do it for God. You do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I turn around and I look at that pulpit and I pray for me that I would be the man of God that God has called me to be and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask Him that whatever I say when I preach, it's what God has given me. So Lord, let those words come out and You do with them what You can. The preacher sure can't do anything with words. What a joyous time it is just to think about Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us. Man, has He ever done a lot for us. And He's still doing things for us. He's still saying, I died for you. I died for your sins. And I love you. And I would love to be your Savior. He's not a baby anymore. The Bible says He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. He's praying for our church. Can you just imagine Jesus praying for Hillcrest Baptist Church? And He does. Especially when we've got something like that Family Life Center going on, Lord. Help them to get that thing finished. Help them to pay for it. Help them to commit to it. But we have lost family members, Lord. Jesus is talking to the Father. Help them to witness to the Lord. I mean, to the kids about Jesus. We have lost moms and dads. We never give up on them. Jesus is always praying for us. Give us opportunities, Lord, and He'll make an opportunity for us to speak to people. It just never ends. You can just keep on going and going and going. God is that big and that great. Yes. So let's stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I want the Lord. If you've had trouble speaking the Christmas story to your family, I hope today gave you some scripture to fall back on, to study a little bit more and just share what Jesus has done for you.
In the cross, be my glory and
This is Anna Spots. She's called about a couple months ago and had some questions, and then we invited her to Sunday school. She's got a child that she brings most every Sunday. She's Catholic background, but she loves the Lord. She gave her heart to Jesus some time ago, but she was baptized as a baby, and she asked me how to be part of our church. I said, well, we'll have to start with baptism and get that in the right order. And she's got no problem with that. And I praise the Lord for that. So many people do. Yes. So thank you for that. But if you'd accept her membership by baptism, would you, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right. Now, Dee Dee, you come on up here. I thought Dee Dee had already joined our church. And she's from a Baptist church in Bowling Green. I wanted to say Cookport. But anyway, she loves the Lord, and how she does this, I don't know, but she loves Mike Smith too. But I'm very grateful for these two. They've gotten together and they've got a great life together, and she wants to join our church by moving her membership. So would you accept her if you would? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We're going to baptize Anna. I'll tell you, well, you guys will know because she'll be up there, but maybe I'll talk to you in a little bit. All right. You guys can come up here and welcome them to church, but let's still do the 6 feet apart so nobody goes home sick. Anybody need to say anything like, praise the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen. All right. Father Almighty, thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for those songs we sang. It's almost like reading scripture. It's so to the point. God, thank you for each of us that were singing and those that were listening. Use this morning, Father, to spread the kingdom of God. Be with each one as they leave. I thank you for the decision that remains this morning. We just love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.